Good morning, everybody. This is Minding Your Health, and I'm Roberta Fernandez, a board-certified hypnotist and a certified hypnosis instructor at the Fair Hypnosis Center in Eden Prairie. Here on this show, we help you find ways to take back control in issues regarding your mental and your physical health. I'm taking calls this morning at 952-946-6205, and I would love to hear from you. Today, I'm really excited. We're starting a four-part segment on parenting issues. And I know none of you out there that are parents are wondering, what does that have to do with my mental and physical health? It has everything to do with it. But I want to ask you, did you know that parents are hypnotists too? You are. And before we start delving into this topic, I want to let you know that I have a workshop, a two-hour workshop on March 21st at the Fair Hypnosis Center. It is free to the general public, but space is limited, first come, first serve, so give us a call if you'd like to attend. And the topic of that workshop is Parents Are Hypnotists Too. For those of you that don't know, I used to own, I founded a Montessori school in Tampa 20 years ago. And we serve children 3 through 12 years old. And I was administered that school for 11 years. This gives me a different perspective, I think, when it comes to parenting. Obviously, I worked with a lot of young children, and I worked with a lot of parents. I wish I would have known then what I know now, what I've learned in my hypnosis career. I think it would have helped me be a much better administrator with those parents and children. Now, last December, in shows 1 and 2, we talked about the formation of the mind. And you can listen to these shows. They're archived here on AM 950 Radio. And you can also find them on my online store at fairhypnosis.com and download them for free. So if you want to kind of catch up on those early shows and go back and listen to some of the things we talked about then, it'd be great. But one of the things we spoke of then is that children who are under the age of 7 or 8 are in hypnosis all the time. And just to give you a little bit of a review, I want to talk about the structure of our mind. And obviously, this is very, very simple. Our brains, our minds, very complex. But basically, I like to say it's divided into three parts. The first part is the conscious mind. That's the part you and I are using right now. Here, you're listening, I'm talking to you. It is the part of our mind that is logical and analytical, home to our shoulds, our short-term memory, and our willpower. And it's about 5% of our brain's processing power. Then we have the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is really divided into two, the subconscious and the unconscious. The unconscious, I like to refer to as just handling all the bodily processes. So literally right now, it's processing thousands of things at one time. The subconscious mind is home to our wants, our imagination, our emotions, our beliefs, all the rules that we have about ourselves and our life. And it is home to our long-term memory. Everything goes in our subconscious mind, whether we realize it or not, and it doesn't forget anything. So literally everything that you've ever experienced, smells, tastes, sounds, sights, it's all in there. Then we have the third part of our mind, which is really important to our topic for today in parenting, and that is what we call the critical factor. This is simply a protective mechanism that we have in our brains that doesn't start to form until we're around 7. This is when we become very logical and analytical. When we're born, we don't have a logical mind, and we're going to talk a lot more about that today. But this protective filter keeps out anything contrary to our beliefs. Now, this can be very helpful because we would be very overwhelmed if we had to keep changing our beliefs all the time, right? We change our mind all the time, every day. And it's problematic because we can't access to what's in there, what is already in that subconscious mind, because it now stands in the way, which means we can't go in there and just easily delete anything. I often talk in the show about how the conscious mind and the subconscious mind mine don't communicate very well with each other. They have very different jobs. And it is our body that is our main way of communicating what's going on in the subconscious mind to our conscious mind. So how does this relate to parenting and children? Well, when do you think awareness and memory starts in children? I get lots of different answers to that question, but it actually starts in the womb. Now, we know that unborn children can hear at some point during the pregnancy. I remember when I had two big dogs when my daughter was born, and I remember one day thinking, I was really having a hard time getting her to go to sleep, and she'd finally fallen asleep, and the dog started barking, and I was chasing around the house trying to get him to shut up. But she never even flinched when they started barking. And that was because she'd heard them for a very long time. It was a normal sound for her. So children can hear. If we're having an argument, if I remember one time going to see Paul McCartney and Elton John and at Tampa Stadium, and it was really loud, and I was very pregnant, and she just was going crazy with all that noise. And as a mom, I was feeling very guilty for being in that place. So they are already starting to acclimate to the world that will soon be around them, that they'll be a part of. They are attached to the mother. A lot of times clients will have some sense of if they were wanted during that time. They feel stress during pregnancy. So if mom and dad aren't getting along really well, a lot of times that little one is going to pick up on that stress. And some children have problems when they separate from parents at birth. For some people, the birthing process is very traumatic. I mean, think about it. Really, it makes sense, right? It makes logical sense. We're in this dark, warm place. Everything is like we're being rocked all the time, moving around. And all of a sudden, we're brought out into this bright, cold world with lots of noise and things that we're unfamiliar with. We go from breathing through liquid to breathing air. It's and just coming out of that birth canal is pretty traumatic. So it can be an overwhelming experience for little children when they're born. Up until the time a child is 2 years old, most of their understanding, their emotions, and their perception of the world is through visual communication. If you watch a little baby, they're always trying to focus in. They're looking at faces intently. They don't have language skills yet. They don't have that logical mind. So it's their primary way of taking in how they're perceiving the world. After age two, words start to become very important, although body language remains very, very important. I'll often have mothers tell me that have young children that they say their children seem to know them better than they do. And this is because they're tuned in to that body language, to every facial expression. And so a lot of times parents who think they're trying to hide things from their children don't realize how poor of a job they might be doing. Yeah, they may not be talking about things in front of their children, but their children see it through their body language and their facial expressions. Because that logical part of our mind doesn't start to form until we're around seven or eight, trying to be logical with small children is really pretty funny when you think about it. To that child, it's like you're speaking Greek because they don't have that ability. It is all about the emotion. So this changes as that analytical mind starts developing and coming into play around age seven. And it changes again during the teen years as that critical factor is really forming and that logical mind is taking place. When I had the Montessori school, I used to tell people, you know, little children, and we saw this so clearly at the school, they have this amazing sense of imagination. But at that age of around first or second grade, seven or eight, we really saw that change becoming very apparent. So, for example, a little girl might be playing with her dolls or her teddy bears, having a tea party. And she's having this amazing conversation with these other characters that she's having tea with, like they're talking back to her. And in her mind, because little ones are all about imagination, they are always in a state of hypnosis, that is very real to them. But at about first or second grade, that imagination starts to change. It's still there, but the logical mind is forming, and it starts to have the impact. That 7 or 8 year old or that 9 year old knows that those dolls can't talk, but what if they could? And so you see that imagination is there. The logic tells them it can't happen, but that expanding logic of what if and how can I apply this to a different situation starts to really take hold. And we see as we parent our children, our kind of parenting, the way we parent has to change. Where that little one is very receptive, that subconscious mind is very literal, we can tell them things and they take it just exactly as we tell them. So if we tell them, oh, I see the tooth fairy took your tooth, they're going to say, no, that didn't do it. The pizza did when she was biting the pizza and the tooth came out. So they're very, very literal. As the logical mind comes into play, we can start using more logic with them. And as they get to be a teenager and they start to want to break away from us, that shift in parenting also has to occur. So we're going to get more into this when we come back after the commercial break. For those of you that might have just joined us, I am taking calls today. That number is 952-946-6205. And you're listening to Minding Your Health, where we're talking about parenting young children. I'm Roberta Fernandez. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez, and this is Minding Your Health. Today, we're helping you take back control by empowering you through education on parenting young children and using hypnotic techniques. I'm taking calls this morning at 952-946-6205. As we mentioned before the break, young children are always in the hypnotic state. That's really their subconscious mind is all there is at this point. They don't have that logical conscious mind. And in past shows, we've talked a lot about imagination and how science has shown us that the brain cannot tell the difference between what's real and what's vividly imagined or emotionally felt. And if you think about your young children in that respect, you can see very clearly how that is true for them. We have also talked about how our thoughts become real things. So when we're parenting, it's important to remember that our words and our actions convey these thoughts and create beliefs in your mind and in the mind of your child. Remember, too, that the subconscious mind is very literal. It doesn't know sarcasm. It doesn't understand humor. And so that's important when we are communicating with our children. Beliefs are formed from the perspective of the child, not of that from the adult. So let me give you an example with a client of mine. She came to see me for driving. She was very afraid to go over bridges. And she remembered in hypnosis a time when she was young. She was about 5 years old, and she was on vacation with her family. And they were at this little diner and having dinner, and the weather was terrible. It was really stormy, and it had been from some time, and it was torrential rain. And she was sitting there eating her hamburger or whatever it was, and the parents were talking to the waitress, and the waitress said to them, oh, it's really good that you got across that bridge because they just closed it. The river is going to flood. Now, the little one is just eating her food and only half paying attention to what mom and dad are saying. Mom and dad aren't really even paying attention to her. They're talking to the waitress. But this thought in her head of a flooding river and a bridge being closed and all this terrible weather was reinforced a lot of time because over time, because she lived in an area where there are a lot of bridges and it rained a lot. She was up in the Pacific Northwest. She later in life moved away from that area and lived her life. And now she was back in an area where there were once again a lot of bridges. And she became very fearful of driving across them. And what we discovered in hypnosis was that this comment, this feeling that was around that table, her dad had been very stressed out from driving and because the weather was so bad. And that comment about the bridge by that waitress and the parents' conversation had created this belief inside of her that was triggered later in life. So it seemed like something very, very innocent, but it had an impact on this woman. And once she could reconcile that, then her fear of bridges went away. But this is why even great parents, really good parents with great intentions, may unknowingly do harm to their child. That comment was innocent, and there was nothing said there that was meant to scare this child about bridges, and yet it happened. I'll give you another story of a man who came to see me that had really poor, low self-confidence, and he recalled a time when he was four. He's in the kitchen with his mom and his bigger sister. And his bigger sister was great at everything. She was the perfect kid. Everybody loved her. She was smart. She was outgoing. And she was always picking on her stupid little brother. So this was happening in the kitchen. She was really being tough on him. And dad came into the kitchen. And dad picked up on what was going on. And he, you know, he felt bad for his son because big sister was always mean to him. So he comes over to his son, he puts his arm around him, and he says, "It's okay, son. They may have got all the smarts, but we got the good looks." Well, at that moment, in that place, in that four-year-old's mind, that became his truth. He formed a belief that I'm never going to be smart like mom and my sister. I'll look good. And he was a very attractive man, but I'm never going to be enough. And his self-confidence was always damaged by that thought. And it was reinforced by that older sister who was always better than him in his mind. So we can't control the perception that our child has all the time. And this is why good parents can sometimes cause harm without meaning to. This is a critical point. A lot of times adults expect their child to think like they do as an adult. For example, mom and dad go to work every day. Our little children have no perception of what that means. They have no idea where we go when we go out that door and when we're going to return and what's going to happen to them during the day. They don't have life experience, and young children, a young child's brain and an adult's brain too, but especially in young children, they can't survive without mom and dad. And their brain has to always be about survival. So when mommy gets mad at me, the thought might be she doesn't love me. And if I'm not lovable, who's going to change me? Who's going to feed me? I might die. And though that sounds very extreme, when I work with clients and we might be doing some work from some timeline work, that comment is actually very common. If mom doesn't love me, if daddy is mad at me, no one's going to be there to take care of me. I might die. And this is where the young brain goes that doesn't have any life experience, that doesn't have a logical mind when mom and dad leave the room to say, oh, they'll be back in a little bit, or they're crying in bed and mom and dad aren't coming. You know, they can't think, oh, they might be sleeping too, because that's not part of their process. So this is why it's very important as parents to communicate with children in the proper way. And we're going to get into that now, even before the break. I think we'll go ahead and get started. I want to remind you, for those of you that have missed the first part of this show, I have a workshop on March 21st where we're going to be talking about parenting at the FAIR Hypnosis Center. It's free, starts at 6 o'clock. So feel free to call or shoot me an email and register for that workshop. So I want to get into, so we have plenty of time, how can parents use the tools that a hypnotist would use? So I'm going to talk about the tools that I use with my clients and how you as a parent can apply them with your child. First and most important is connection. Look at your child. Smile at your child and connect at their level, not yours. How many times during the course of the day, especially in the morning when things are hectic and you're trying to get the kids out to school, you're doing a million things and they're getting ready to get on the bus and you toss them the lunchbox and say, have a great day, and you haven't even looked at them. You haven't taken 10 seconds to really hug them and be present with them in that minute. My rule to parents is 5 minutes a day. I call it the 5-minute rule, where you stop doing everything else that you're doing and you just spend 5 minutes with your child. If you don't have 5 minutes, then there's a whole bigger issue at play here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the tools of a hypnotist and how you as a parent can use them. Welcome back, everybody. This is Roberta Fernandez, and I'm with Minding Your Health. We're talking today about using hypnotic techniques for parenting. And when we left off, we were talking about the power of connection. I'm a big fan of Brené Brown, and Brené talks a lot about the need that we all have to connect and have that feeling of belonging with each other. And that's what we left off with when we went to commercial break. I wanted to let you know there's a great book out there. It's called Redirecting Your Children's Behavior. And the author's name is Catherine Coles. It's C-V-O-L-S. This was a book we used at the Montessori School, and we actually taught classes around this for parenting. And she talks a lot about connection in that book and about the way we use our words with our child. And words are very important to a hypnotist, and they are to your child as well. It's very important to pay attention to your words. Remember, those little ones' subconscious minds are very literal, and they don't really have a grasp of humor or sarcasm. And I do see a lot of parents trying to be humorous or sarcastic with their children, but remember, that's sarcasm is being taken as literal, and this is when the beliefs are formed in our children. So your words should be sincere. They should also be present. Children also don't really have an understanding of the past and of the future. All they know is what's happening at that moment. Obviously, our words need to be positive. Another thing that I hear parents do is to say they're proud of their children. Now, there's nothing horribly wrong with that, but as a Montessorian, I really felt it was better to praise your child, to comment on the wonderful thing they had just done. But when we say, I'm so proud of you, that doesn't allow them to enhance their self-esteem and feel good about themselves. This is, oh, mom and dad's opinion is important in this, not how I feel. So think about that the next time you're going to praise your child. Make that recognition about them, not about you. And the word "and" is very important to a hypnotist, and it should be to a parent as well. Actually, the word "and" should be used in every situation, even business situations. A lot of times we'll say, but. Oh, honey, you hit that ball really well, but the next time, you hear the but? Once we say the word but, it negates everything that came before it. It's like taking back the compliment that we just gave. So it, rather than saying, oh, honey, you hit that ball really well, and you know, you might want to try this the next time you're up to bat. So it's yes and. That's very, very important. I remember a long time I took an improv class with a Brave New Workshop, and that yes and just resonated so strongly with me. It prevents a lot of conflict, and that's really important in parenting as well. You recognize their point of view. You don't negate it by saying but. And then you add the word and say what you want to say. The other thing with words is to practice for upcoming events, good things and bad things. What words are you going to use with your child? So let's say, for example, your six-year-old is trying out for baseball, and they're not very good at baseball. And so you're worried that he's not going to make the team or that he's not going to do well. Rehearse those things with yourself. What are you going to say to your child when he strikes out or when the ball goes through his legs, you know, and under his glove? Have those things ready in your mind and have them rehearsed enough so that they sound natural, but that you're not caught off guard with not knowing what to say. This is going to build a lot of confidence in the relationship between you and your child so that they feel they can come to you and that you're going to get them, you're going to understand them, and that you've got good advice for them. You can make them feel better. You can help them feel better. And while we're talking about words, I want to talk about two words that are very important, shame and guilt. There's a big difference between the two. Shame is focusing on the self. It lets your child think, I am bad. And it corrodes that part of us that believes that we can change. Guilt is, I did something bad. It becomes about the behavior. So let me put this in perspective. Your child is told a lie. And, you know, they think it's pretty plausible, but it's obvious it's a lie. You can say to your child, Joey, lying is not okay. Or you can say, Joey, you're a liar. How does that come off to your child? I know a lot of times parents tend to put children in they back them into a corner when it comes to lying. And this is something all children are going to do because it's self-preservation. It's that brain's way of saying, oh my gosh, I've done something wrong. I'm going to get in trouble. I need to protect myself. So they tell a lie. So this is a huge teaching moment as children and for getting them to understand the difference between the emotion of shame and guilt. So watching your words when you're parenting is really important. The second thing that a good hypnotist does is listen. And as a parent, that is probably the most important skill for you to develop. Be present with your child. This goes back to that real connection. Children know that you're not listening to them. You know, inserting a word or two or repeating something they said, it doesn't fly with kids. They get it. They know when you've tuned them out. The look comes over our face. Our eyes are glazed over. They can tell our thoughts are somewhere else. So once again, think about that 5-minute rule. Take just a few moments and be present with your child. As parents, we can't always do that. If we are in the middle of cooking dinner and we've got 5 things on the stove and something in the oven and, you know, kids are running all around the house, when Joey comes in and says, Mommy, 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 look what I did, or I want to tell you about my day at school. It's not always possible to do that at the moment. But you can take one moment. Stop what you're doing. Look at your child in the eyes and say, honey, mommy's got lots of things on the stove. I don't want our dinner to burn. After dinner, you and I are going to sit down and talk about whatever your child has said. That's all they need. That is effective parenting. That goes a long way with your child. Another thing a good hypnotist does is focus. We help our clients focus, and this is really important for young children. This is when they are learning to develop all of these skills. And we have a lot of issues today out there in the world with ADD and ADHD and children's inability to focus. Well, you know, children are going in a million directions at one time. And as parents, we can help them. First, help your children master what they're good at. This will raise their confidence, raise their levels of self-esteem. And when we focus on the things that your child can do, this confidence builds and will carry over to compensate areas of weakness. I know a long time ago the thing was we got to focus on our weaknesses and improve our weaknesses. Well, the reality is we can't be good at everything. It's impossible. So by focusing on those areas of weakness, there's going to be a lot of failure, right? So rather than put your child through that, focus on the things that they're good at. We all have so much going on in our lives. Our lives are very scheduled. Our children's lives are very scheduled, and we'll talk about that later. But allow time for your child to focus on what makes them happy and what they want. As parents, we want to expose our children to a lot of different things and help them grow and help them find their interests. But sometimes we live vicariously through our children, don't we? And I know we hear about this all the time, but I see parents doing it all the time. Children must have time to do what they want. Or what's the point in getting up every day? Some adults feel that way about their jobs. They're doing a job, it's providing a paycheck, but there's no passion there. The most important gift we can give our children is passion and letting them know that no matter what it is that they want to do in life, what makes them happy is very important. The other thing with young children that we really honed in on at Montessori was allowing children to develop the capacity to concentrate, to focus. And so allow that for your children too. If you see your child very engaged in something, allow them just to be. I can remember my daughter as a young child, I mean really young, just toddling around. She loved to stack books. She'd have a stack of books and she'd carry them one at a time across the room and pile them up. And then she'd turn around and one at a time carry them back to where they were and pile them up. And I thought this was so interesting to watch as a parent. And somehow I knew intuitively not to interrupt her, but a lot of parents will just, you know, they can't control themselves because as an adult, we think, wow, how boring is that? But not to that little child. That little child is having an incredibly important learning experience at that moment. They're developing their ability to concentrate, to build focus, and whatever it is that's going on in that brain, whatever they're thinking about when they're doing that task is really important to them. Hypnotists always also tap into the imagination of the client. And this is really important for your young children because under age 7, they're pretty much always in their imagination. They're in that subconscious mind. So you can use stories and metaphors. Little kids love superheroes. Tell them a story where the child can identify with a character for the solution to some problem that's going on. You don't have to tell them directly what to do. Let them figure it out for themselves by using stories. The subconscious mind is at work here. There's no logic, so you're not going to be able to use logic with them. But this will help them build their problem-solving skills. And because they're in that imaginative state, metaphor and stories are how they best relate. You can also help them reframe challenges. What do they want instead of what they can't do? Because little children get frustrated very easy. There's lots of things they can't do. So, and they also, especially if they have older siblings, want to be able to do the things that their older siblings are doing. So at Montessori, when a child would, we had mixed ages, 3 to 6 in one classroom, the older children were always doing things that the little ones couldn't do. So when they wanted to do that work, we would simply tell them, you know, before Billy learned how to do that, he learned how to do this. Would you like to learn how to do that? And it was like, yeah, because then they could see the progression of things. They knew that if I learned to do this, then I could do what Billy was doing. Help them imagine what they want and make that imagination rich. What does it look like to you? What does it feel like? Those are very important things that young children are able to do. And if you get them going, they won't stop. Help them learn how to be goal setters. Now, this needs to be done in small increments, baby steps. Set them up for success and don't assume that they know how to do what they want to do. We're all in that learning stage. So this is Roberta Fernandez and it's Minding Your Health. We're talking about parenting. When we come back, we're going to be continuing with more of these great hypnotic techniques. Lives. Welcome back, everybody, to the last segment of Minding Your Health, where we're talking about helping you develop your parenting skills by being that inner hypnotist of yourself. When we left, we were talking about tapping into children's imagination, because this is where they're living if they're younger than seven. I gave you an analogy earlier about thinking about your words. For example, you have a five-year-old or six-year-old that's getting ready to start out to try out for a baseball team, T-ball or something. We talked about what are you going to say to them, rehearsing what you're going to say when they don't succeed, when they miss that ball or they strike out. But what about when they succeed? How about helping them use their imagination to pretend that they've already succeeded? Ask them what it will feel like when they've accomplished what it is they're trying to do. It might be that hitting that ball off the tee. It might be writing that letter or drawing that picture. It could be many things that your child's looking to do, maybe riding their bike for their first time, or taking a swimming lesson. The more you can get the child to engage their imagination, what are you seeing? What are you feeling? What does it look like to you? The more successful they're going to be because they can do this in their mind. And remember, when they do it in their mind, they manifest it in their bodies. Our thoughts become things. There's also something that hypnotists use a lot, and that's called the double bind. And I use this with my daughter, didn't even know I was doing it. I learned it in that book that I mentioned earlier by Catherine Coles. A double bind is simply providing choices for your child that are all acceptable for you. Children need to learn to make decisions at a very young age, and what a great time to allow them to do that, because we don't want the first time our children to make decisions is, when they're 15 and they're at a party and you're not there and there's drugs, right? We need them to be confident in their own abilities to make wise decisions and to deal with the natural consequences that happen. So, for example, you might want to say to your child, do you want to do your homework now or after soccer practice? My daughter went through a tantrum phase, and it was her right to have a tantrum, but it was also my right to not have to listen to it. So she knew that when things got out of control, she needed to go to her room. I would say to her, do you want me to carry you to your room or do you want to walk? And that gave her some sense of control. Remember, from the day your children are born, we are raising them to leave us. That's the way it should work. And some parents have a hard time with that concept. My daughter's 26 and I still, look at her sometimes and have to give myself a wake-up call. She's a grown adult because she's always my child. And we have a tendency to have a trouble shifting our parenting as our children grow. So giving them that double bind, letting the child always have a choice, helps make them good decision makers. As a parent, you get what you want, and it also allows them to experience natural consequences, which also I want to touch on that for a minute. If you've told a child not to play baseball, I don't know why baseball metaphors are in my mind today, but they are, and they break the neighbor's window, and you've told them again and again not to hit the ball in the front yard, grounding them for a week isn't a very good natural consequence, is it? But having them pay for the broken window or go clean up the glass or whatever is appropriate is a much better natural consequence. So think about that as a parent. The other thing I do as a hypnotist is validate Validate my clients. Validate your child's feelings. Don't say, oh, that's so stupid, you know, or I don't know why you're feeling that way. Explain emotions to your child. They don't know that anger, that when they feel angry, it's because they feel something is unfair. And children always think things are unfair, right? Adults are always telling them what to do. They don't ever get their way. A lot is unfair, which is why our children get so angry. So explain emotions to them and help them clear up misperceptions. Obviously, as a hypnotist, I give suggestions all the time. But for my clients, like for your children, the ideas or solutions need to be acceptable to them or they're never going to take them in. So always make them positive. Tell them things like, you know, I am so glad you're my child. You are so smart. I remember watching a movie called The Help. I don't know if you saw it, but in one of the scenes, the maid is telling the little girl, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. These are things that we need to tell our children, especially when they wake up in the morning, especially before they go to sleep at night, because this is when, as humans, our nature is to go through those hypnotic trance states just before sleep and waking up. So when you go in and you wake them up, you can tell them things like, I am so grateful that you're my daughter, or I appreciate what a good helper you were today. Address the goals or the challenges that you want to help your child accomplish and that you want to develop in them by giving them these positive thoughts and these positive feelings. The word because is very, very important. I feel happy because you did your homework today. You know, but make it about your child. I see that you're really proud of yourself because you accomplished that. So those things are very, very important. Think about when your child wakes up. You might be running late. They might be running late. You can go into the room and say, get up. You're going to be late for school. Or you can go into the room and say, good morning, sunshine. I'm so grateful for this day because I get to start by helping you pack the best lunch ever. Think about that perception. I'm grateful for this day ahead of us. I appreciate these things that you bring to this family. What are you grateful for your children? So bringing joy into the morning, that 5 crucial minutes can set the tone for the day for your child. And finally, what do I do if I mess up? Great. You're not perfect. Please don't model that to your child. Children are always wanting to be perfect for their parents, and that is so detrimental to them. If you mess up, it's a learning moment. Explain your actions. Explain your emotions. Let them know that there is no such thing as perfection. Let them know that parents don't know everything, but you know what? Together, we can figure it out for ourselves. So a couple of tools, other tools you can use. That 5-minute rule. I like parents to set a timer if they need to. Set an alarm on your clock to remind you. And I challenge you as parents to find those 5 minutes. I also challenge you to buy a little snow globe. And when there's conflict with your child or your child needs that time out or they're having trouble figuring something out, just suggest to them that when that snow settles to the bottom and we can see more clearly through that snow globe, when we've taken time to take those 5 deep breaths, somehow we're going to come up with a solution that we really need. And you can do that with your child. You can also give your child that snow globe so that they can self-discipline and self-correct themselves. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I'm Roberta Fernandez at the FAIR Hypnosis Center and host of Minding Your Health. Join me next week here on AM 950 when we're going to be doing part 2 of our parenting series by discussing teens and parenting with therapist Sarah Nguyen. It'll be a great show. Have a mindful week, everybody, and a beautiful day.